That parasha speaks to me every single time I read it, because I'm the second born of twins. And my twin sister is far away from the Lord, and it's just amazing that you can be so different. The only problem with my twin sister and I is that if you spoke to her on the telephone, you'd be thinking you were speaking to me, because our voices are exactly the same. So, yes, exactly the same, Paul. But apart from looks and everything else, we look totally different. And apart from where we're going with the Lord and all that is totally different. So Yah's hands are on you. It doesn't matter where you're born and how you're born. So it'll be interesting to see what Minister Sean has for us today, especially with our 60 minutes, 60 seconds of the Torah. Do you need this?
Yep, I've got one.
You got one?
I've got one, I'm good.
Okay, bless you. Oh, I better give you the mic, it'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Come in handy?
Yeah, well, it saves me another
hour. Let's pray. Abba and Elohim, Father, we ask your hand of blessing to be upon the Darush today. Your hand of blessing be upon all of us today, Father God. Father God, we hear your word and only your word, Father God. You hide anything that's not of you, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. We thank you for the preparation you've made for us before we came here. And we ask you to open up your word to us and give us an understanding of yourself, understanding of our relationship with you, and understanding of which direction you want us to move in. Blessed be your holy name, Father God. Help us to express the image of Yah as you've created us to. Amen. Amen. Okay. This parasha is made up of 5,426 Hebrew letters, 1,432 Hebrew words, 106 verses, can occupy 173 lines in the Torah scroll. It's read on the sixth Sabbath after Simchat Torah, and generally November or early December. No worries. Everybody seems to like it when I do that bit, okay. I'll get you to play the Torah in 60 seconds.
Shalom and welcome to Parsha in 60 seconds. Today's portion is from Genesis 25, 19, 28, 9. It is called Toldot, which means generations. Isaac married Rebekah, and she was barren. Isaac prayed, and God allowed Rebekah to conceive. Since birth, the twins fought for first place, but God said the older would serve the younger. Isaac loved Esau because of his hunting skills, but Rebekah loved Jacob, who was a mama's boy. Jacob traded a bowl of stew for Esau's birthright. During a famine, Isaac settled in Gerar, and like his father Abraham, told the men that Rebekah was his sister. Abimelech called his bluff and protected them. Isaac's wealth caused many problems with the locals, and they moved away. Isaac went to Beersheba and met with God. While there, Abimelech came and made an oath with Isaac. Esau married two Hittite women, causing bitterness for Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac was old and had lost his sight. He sent Esau hunting and intended to give him the innermost blessing before he died. Rebekah overheard and helped Jacob trick Isaac into receiving Esau's blessing. They used baby goat skin and Esau's clothes to disguise Jacob, and Rebekah prepared a dish. After tricking his father, Jacob was blessed by Isaac. Under threat of death, Jacob ran away. Esau realized that the Canaanite woman displeased Isaac, and Esau married Ishmael's daughter. And that is told out in 60 seconds.
How bad is it? Just what I was thinking when we were getting ready for the parasha, one of the things I noticed, has anyone done astronomy in school and you sort of looked at how the planets revolve around the sun? I kind of think it's the same for our lives. We are designed to revolve around something, someone. And the focus of our heart, the focus of our mind, the focus of our attention is what we end up revolving around. Yah desires us to be a people who revolve around him, who make him the center of our lives, and that he desires us to revolve around him and to exhibit his character as we were created in his image, and therefore our purpose is to express that image to people around us. I believe this parish is very important because I think that at the core, especially when we're talking about Yitzhak and Esav, Yah is trying to show us the importance of expressing his image, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our potential gains or losses are, that being his people, his image in any situation is the most important thing to him. Okay? And therefore should be the most important thing to us. Okay? Because we're here to glorify him, not us. Yes? Okay. Could you put the first slide up, please? Yehovah is patient and kind, not jealous, not boastful, not proud, rude or selfish, not easily angered, and keeps no record of wrongs. Yehovah does not gloat over people's sin, but takes his delight in the truth. Yehovah always bears up, always trusts, always hopes, and always endures. Where's that come from? Very good. Next one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. Nothing notorious stands against these things. Put the next one up. Insert name here. That's your name. Is patient and kind, is not jealous, not boastful, not proud, rude or selfish, not easily angered, but keeps no records of wrong, does not gloat over other people's sin, but takes my delight in the truth, always bears up, always trusts, always hopes, always endures. Next one. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness and faithfulness. Humility, self-control, nothing in the Torah stands against these things. Moreover, those who belong to the Messiah Yeshua have put their old nature to death on the stake along with its passions and desires. Since it is through the Spirit that we have life, let it also be through the Spirit that we order our lives day by day. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Okay. To be his image is to maintain the character of Yah as expressed in our actions and our attitudes and our behaviors towards other people. Yes? And him. This means holding on to the things of the world lightly. Huh? Even when they are blessings given by Yah. Okay, and holding on to him and the things he wants us to hold on to, his blessings, his visions, tightly. Yes? Okay. Let me start reading. Yehovah appeared to him and said, "Don't go down into Egypt." This is from this week's 26:2. "But live where I tell you. Stay in the land and I will be with you and bless you, because I will give these lands to you and to your descendants. I will fulfill the oath I swore to Abraham, your father. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give these lands to your descendants and to by your descendants all the nations of the earth will bless themselves. All this because Abraham heeded what I said and did what I told him. He followed my mitzvot, my regulations and my teachings." So Yitzhak settled in Gerar. The men of the place asked about his wife, and out of fear he said, "She's my sister." He thought, "I will tell them she's my wife. They might kill me in order to take Rivka. After all, she is a beautiful woman." Then one day, after he lived there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Plishtim, happened to be looking out his window when he spotted Yitzhak caressing Rivka, his wife. Abimelech summoned Yitzhak and said, "So she is your wife, after all. How come you said she's my sister?" Yitzhak responded, "Because I thought I would get killed because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people could easily have slept with your wife and you would have brought guilt on us." Abimelech warned the people, "Whoever touches this man or his wife will most certainly be put to death." Yitzhak planted crops in the land and reaped there that year 100, as much as he had sowed. And Adonai blessed him. And the man became rich and prospered more and more until he had become very wealthy indeed. He had flocks, cattle, and a large household. And the Plishtim envied him. Now the Plishtim had stopped up and filled the dirt and all the wells that his father had dug during the lifetime of Abraham, his father. And now Abimelech said to Yitzhak, this is on the PowerPoint, "You must go away from us because you have become much more powerful than we are." Does that seem weird to anyone? "You want you to go away because you've become much more powerful and wealthy than we are." That's really bad for the economy, you know that? If you're a king, You don't drive out the most successful businessmen, do you? That's just dumb. That means the money goes with it. This is silliness, this is craziness. You know why? Because the people have become jealous. The people wanted what he had. They coveted what he had, and he gave in to them. I think in part because he swore an oath to protect them, that he wanted to protect Yaakov, so he asked him to leave so he didn't have to fight his own people over him. Yes? Okay. The other interesting thing is this is the land that Yah had promised both to him and to his father Abraham. It was deeded to him and to his father Abraham by Jehovah, the creator of the universe, said, I'm going to give it to you. And yet, this guy comes and says, this freeloader, this guy who's swatting on the property that Yah had given to him, you've got to leave. And says to him, you've got to leave. Does that seem really a tad arrogant? Does that seem a tad in your face? I always thought that this was a political thing, that he was bowing to political pressure, but he was the more powerful person. He had the bigger company of people with him. He was a much, much more powerful group. So he could have resisted them, and what would they do about it? Go to war with him? This is a Yah thing because we can see the same pattern in Abraham's life. Let's keep reading for a minute. Ownership and possession are two different things, by the way. Ownership and possession are two different things with this. Bereshit 26:17. So Yitzhak left. He set up camp in the Vadi of Gerar and lived there. And Yitzhak reopened the wells which had been dug during the life of Abraham, his father, the ones the Plishtim had stopped up after Abraham had died, and called them by names his father had used for them. Yitzhak's servants dug the Vadi and then covered the spring of running water. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Yitzhak, the herdsman, claiming the water is ours. So he called the well Esek, quarrel, because they quarreled with him. They dug another well and quarreled over that one too. So he called that one Sitna, or enmity. And he went from there and dug another well. And over that one, they did not quarrel. So he called that one Rechavot, wide open spaces, and said, because now Jehovah has made room for us, we will be productive. We'll be productive in the land. Okay? I believe this is an object lesson for us. That our lives are wrapped around the Most High. He is our inheritance first, before anything else. That even though he promises something to us, it's something we give back to him on how we manage that, on how we have an attitude in using that. Does it make sense? So he, basically, they told him to leave, so he left. He dug a well. And then they came and said, no, the water's ours. Well, he had no water until I dug the well. So then he moved on and dug another well. And then they disputed him about that again. And then he moved on again. And he dug another well. And he said, at last, it's great. Then what does he do next? Bereshit 26:23. From there, Yitzhak went up to Beersheba. And Adam appeared to him at the same night and said, I am Jehovah of Abraham, your father. Don't be afraid because I am with you. I will bless you and increase your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. There he built an altar and called on the name of Jehovah. He pitched his tent there, and there Yitzhak's servants dug a well. So we got four wells. Four wells happening. So we notice something here that he's been blessed so much. Then he has asked to leave, so he leaves. Then he digs another well, and they come and fight him over the well he dug, the wealth he created. So he moves again. Then he digs another well, and then they fight him over that again. And then he moves another place, and he digs another well, but they don't fight him over this one. And then he moves again to another place and digs another well. There's a bit of a pattern happening here. And it's very similar to what happened to Abraham. Let's read about Abraham, and then I'll talk about it a bit more. Okay, because anyone puzzled? Anyone know where I'm going with this or not? You want to see it? Good, okay. Now, Jehovah said to Abraham, get yourself out of your country and away from your kinsmen and away from your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You are to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who curses you. And by you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went out, and as Jehovah had said to him, Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abraham took his wife Sarai, his brother's son Lot, and all their possessions which he had accumulated, as well as the people he had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan and entered the land of Canaan. And Abraham passed through the land in a place called Shechem to the oak of Moriah. And the Canaani were there in that land. And Jehovah appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give the land. So he built an altar there to Jehovah, who had appeared to him. And he left that place to the hill east of Beit El and pitched his tent with Beit El to the west and Ai to the east. He built an altar there and called on upon the name of Jehovah. Then Abraham traveled on, continuing on to the Negev. You know, there's something about both of their lives. Their lives lived traveling. While the land was promised to them and to their descendants, they never took possession of the land. They sojourned in the land. Yes? Yes? It's an interesting principle, this. That Yah used Abraham, the father of faith, and Yitzhak, who represents so many things about the Mashiach, were not kings in their land. They were sojourners. Let's read what Yeshua has to say. Woohoo! Traveler and sojourner. All right, thank you. Perfect demonstration. Luke 9:57. As they were traveling on the road, the man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Yeshua answered him, the foxes have holes and the birds flying about have nests, but the Son of Man has no home of his own. Yeshua said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world. This is why I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not trust that I am, you will die in your sins. And at this they said to him, who are you? Yeshua answered, just as I have been telling you from the start, there are many things I could say about you and many judgments I could make. However, the one that sent me is true. So I say in the world only what I've heard from him. In this way, we are like our fathers, and we are like the Messiah, that we are sojourners in this world. You know, the land and the earth is the true owner of the land and the earth is Jehovah. And for a time, he's allowed and given it over to the peoples who are living here. And it is our job to express our father's life, his light, through us, to them, as he moves us about. John 8:12, Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light which gives life. You know, in everywhere I have been, growing up, my father and my family moved around all the time. And it was because Yah told our family he wanted us to move. Move from place to place to place. because he wanted us to be sojourners. For years we live in one place, then we move to another place. For years we live in another place, another place. And even in my work, when I go to work, I'm never fixed in an office. I work from place to place to place. Always an outsider. Does anyone feel like that in their work and what they do and their... Yah does that on purpose because he wants us to grow in that. That we are sojourners in this world. People say, the world says, oh, we want to have acceptance, we want acceptance. Yet Yah does the opposite with his children. He makes them sojourners. He makes them strangers. People who move from place to place to place. Yes? He desires us to be people who hold lightly to the things of this earth and tightly to the things of Yah. Amen. One of the best ways to do that is so you're not in orbit around the things of this world. And the things, you know, so many times I used to run a youth group years ago, and the young people used to come and say, and I say, the Lord says this, you should do this, and then they say, but my friends say this. So my answer to them is, who's more important? Who is your life going to orbit around? Jehovah or your friends? Because honestly, amen. I love this guy. He fixes it so your life revolves around him. He will move you from place to place. So young people, don't be afraid when your relationships with your friends sometimes fall apart. Sometimes Yah does that on purpose to keep your eyes back focused on him. And I see that in my son's life. My son's in year three. And his best friends suddenly turn on him. And he goes, ah! Very upsetting for him. But I pray about it. And God says, it's okay. He does that on purpose. Because he wants us to be sojourners in the land. Okay? One of the biggest troubles I have in my life when I get into difficulty is because I call something mine. Yeah, my career, my job, my place, my car, my home, instead of it being Yah's place, Yah's home, Yah's workplace, where I represent him. Because when it becomes mine, I'm no longer revolving around him, I start revolving around me. Uh-huh. Anyone else have that experience? Very good, maybe I'm the only one.
No.
This land, this place is our inheritance, but it is Yah's timing to bring that about. Yeah? Yah promised it to Abraham and his descendants, and Yah gives us promises, and I'm still waiting for a whole bunch. But in his timing, I sometimes go, but my life will be over before I get... I won't enjoy it. You're waiting too long. Anyone feel that? I'll just hold my breath.
Won't do any good.
Hallelujah. I'm so happy I'm so happy Yah is an adult and doesn't give in to my silliness. Amen. We're here to be a people who are him, to reflect the expression of his love, his goodness, his kindness, his patience, his self-control, all these things he wants us to exhibit. We can only do that by abiding in his spirit and by having our orbit around him rather than other things. So he purposely, because you know the tribe of Levi, they weren't to own anything because Yah was their inheritance. Abraham was blessed financially, but the only piece of land he owned was where he buried his wife.
That's right.
Okay? Everything revolved around Yah because Yah was his life and his inheritance. Yes? having Yah as your life and your inheritance is far more important than riches. It's far better than anything else. Because I know it's you know, you want to look at people who are doing well and go, oh, why isn't he blessing me that way? But having him with us is far better. Yes? Rather be mates with the creator of the universe than be on a private plane with Kevin Spacey any day of the week. Sorry?
To own one book,
Is richer than the richest 10% in the world. I like that. That's good. And when it came time to drive out the squatters in the land, Deuteronomy 9 verse 4. Don't think for yourselves that after God has pushed them out ahead of you, that is a reward, it is to reward my righteousness that Jehovah has brought me in to take possession of this land. No, it is because these nations have been so wicked that Jehovah is driving them out ahead of you. It is not because of your righteousness or because your heart is so upright that you go in and take possession of their land, but to punish the wickedness of these nations that Jehovah your God is driving out ahead of you, and to confirm that the word which Jehovah spoke to your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Be careful, Deuteronomy 8, yep. Be careful, do not forget Jehovah your Elohim by not obeying his mitzvot, rulings, and regulations that I am giving you today. 8:11? Yep, next one, guys. Yep, that's it. Be careful not to forget Adonai your God by not obeying his mitzvot. You understand? He puts that together. You're forgetting him if you don't obey his instructions. If you don't keep his instructions, you've forgotten him. Yes?
That's right.
Yeah. Rulings and regulations I'm giving you today. Otherwise, after you've eaten and after you're satisfied, built fine houses and lived in them, and increased your herds and flocks, silver and gold, and everything else you own, you'll become proud-hearted, forgetting Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt where you lived as slaves, who led you through the vast and fearsome desert with its poisonous snakes, scorpions, waterless, thirsty ground, who brought water out of flint rock for you, who fed you in the desert with man, unknown to your ancestors, all the while humbling and testing you in order to do you good in the end. Doesn't feel like it at the time, but it does. You will think to yourself, my own power and the strength of my own hand has gotten me this wealth. No, you have to remember Jehovah your Elohim, because it is he who is giving you the power to get wealth in order to confirm his covenant which he swore to your ancestors, as is happening even today. If you forget Jehovah your Elohim and follow other gods and serve and worship him, I am warning you in advance today that you will certainly perish. And you will perish just like the nations that Jehovah is causing to perish ahead of you, because you will not have heeded the voice of Jehovah your Elohim. Amen. So in conclusion, Jehovah is patient and kind. Jehovah is not jealous or boastful. He's not proud, rude, or selfish, not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jehovah does not gloat over people's sin, but takes delight in the truth. Jehovah always bears up, always trusts, always hopes, always endures. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against these things. Amen. Does anyone have any questions? No? Okay. All right. Shabbat Shalom. I feel like to see the climax now. Okay.